Warden, go. Guys, ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay. Let me turn record on here, and let's see here. She's going to talk to us. Everybody listen.
Recording in progress.
Okay. All right. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn there, and we're going to look at, we've gone through four seals together. Remember the seals? They're not the kind that clap at SeaWorld and hold a ball on their nose. These are the seals, the old Roman seals, the ancient time seals, where when there was a proclamation that came from someone with authority, they would close that, they would seal it, and part of that seal process was this: no one except someone who has the authority can break that seal. Same thing when you remember when Jesus died and the Romans were worried about his followers stealing his body, and the Bible said that Pilate had them put a Roman seal on the tomb. What is that? Well, it's just, again, it's like, Dave, you're a policeman and stuff. When a crime scene happens, what do? You tape it off. And when you tape that crime scene off, if you break that, you break those tape and stuff, you better have the authority to do that or you're going to be in big trouble. And if you do break it, you also have to keep record of why you broke it, what you did, why you're in there, and all that's a big part of that and stuff. Well, it's the same thing here. This scroll given by the Father into the hands of the Son, the only one who has the authority. Remember what we said? John said, the living creature said, I looked all over heaven for just one person who had the authority to open the seals. Just one person. And nobody in all of heaven had the authority to open those seals until the Lamb that looked as it had been slain took the scroll in his hand and he began to break the seals. Again, the other side of that thing is that speaks of his authority. Nothing could happen until he broke the seals. Nothing on earth could happen until Jesus began to open that scroll and break those seals. Now, we've been looking at what's happened on earth as he breaks each one of those seals. So now we come to seal number 5. Number 5. So we're in verse 9 in your study guide. And here's what it says, verse 9 through 11. It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I looked under the altar. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwelt on the earth? And a white robe was given to each one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest just a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. That's a very interesting seal here, because again, this seal is not so much what's happening on the earth. It does impact what has happened on the earth, and as you read here, you see it impacts about what's going to happen on the earth. Two things that you see here, okay? So this is a very interesting little picture that John gives us here. For lack of a better term, I think he's given us a picture of the martyrs of the faith. That's what it says there. These people that were underneath the throne, which is kind of underneath the throne. Why were they underneath the throne? Why were they held underneath the throne in this way? It's not that they were secluded. It's not that they were held in a dungeon. I believe because they were underneath the throne, the word picture there is they were actually given a special place. This is not a place of isolation as much as it is, I would say, if you allow me to say it this way, in heaven, this was a place of honor. You remember what Paul teaches, and this is my view. Again, this is my view. You can accept it or not accept it. But you remember what Paul teaches. Actually, Luke is one who writes it in the book of Acts. Now, you guys with me on Wednesday morning, we've been in the book of Acts since when? Since Pilate was a teenager. What does he tell about the first martyr of the church? Now, who was the first martyr of the church? Stephen was the first martyr of the church, right? Oh, I need to move over here, Fred. Okay. So Stephen was the first martyr of the church. Now, Paul says elsewhere that when Jesus, after he descended, He ascended. And when he ascended, he sat down at the right hand of his Father in a place of authority. What a beautiful word picture that is. Okay? Have you ever thought about when Jesus gets up? Now, again, this is just Tony's kind of view here. What's it say in the book of Acts when Stephen was martyred? Remember when he said, Stephen looks up into heaven and he doesn't see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sees Jesus standing. In my view, just to me, a wonderful picture that when a martyr comes home, Jesus doesn't sit. Jesus stands. And he brings him home. So that's why I get this picture that this underneath the throne, which again, a lot of people have viewed for a lot of years, even the commentator, well, they're in isolation, they're locked. It's almost like being in lockdown and stuff like that. I don't see it that way. I see it that these martyrs is who they are. They died for the faith. They died for the testimony. They're in a special place. They're in a place of honor. So somebody says, well, I don't believe there's any place of honor in heaven. Well, then you probably don't believe about the rewards that Paul teaches about heaven. And you know there's going to be some people going to heaven with a cinch. Some of you got what I just said. You can walk around heaven smelling. Well, you just made it in by fire, didn't you, brother? So you can go with a D minus. Yeah. So, but he does say that. He says some will enter as by fire. They won't have anything. They won't have anything to bring into heaven except for their salvation, which of course we know is a free gift from God. But all their works will be found as carnal and self-serving, and they will be burned up as a wood, hay, and stubble. Yet he said there will be some who stand at the bema seat who will receive rewards for that which they did in the power of God as they submitted to the Holy Spirit in this life. Now, what are you going to do with their reward? We'll understand the proper place. They belong to Jesus. But don't you want, and I'm not saying this in a selfish way, don't you want to have something to put at the feet of Jesus?
Yes, amen.
Don't you want? I do. Mm-hmm. Even though I understand that anything good in me that happens is because the Holy Spirit's working through me. Right. I always tell people, you can't beat this deal. Right. God gives you everything you need. Holy Spirit will work to you in every way you need Him to work to you. And then God rewards you when you get to heaven for that. Yeah. And then you get to take that and put them at your Savior's feet. Because I do believe there's nothing to be higher, nothing to be more glorious in heaven than that day we get to stand before Jesus, or kneel before Jesus, or fall face first before Jesus, however it's going to be. So, I do believe this is, saying all that, I do believe this is a place of honor for them, not a place of seclusion. Again, how do you identify these people? They're human beings who were on the earth at one time, and who were killed, specifically killed. They're not the same as everybody in heaven, but were specifically killed for their faith. Now the question comes up from the commentators, are these merely those who were killed since Antichrist was released? Remember, we've already had a third of the people on earth die. Remember? We talked about that last week. Are these merely the ones that died at the hands of Antichrist? And remember, he will come by peace, but by peace he will destroy. And by the way, the world, again, I believe the Christians will be gone when he comes, okay? But there will be many who come to faith when he's here. We're kind of chronologically in the first part of the tribulation. In a little bit, in a couple of 3 weeks, maybe months, who knows. Well, next chapter, the seventh chapter, he's going to describe for you 144,000.
Yes.
Now, who are these guys? What's their purpose? When do they step forward? And I believe they step forward almost immediately at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, because I believe these will be, when the church is gone, these will become the evangelists who God will use to reach the world, who are going to be reached for Christ, who will reach the world for Christ. We might call them tribulation saints. So I say all that to say this, that some commentators, by the way, Chapter 7, you'll see this all throughout Revelation, is what I call a parenthesis. It's just information given to you that ties in with what's going on. So at times, John will move out of a chronological, logical flow in time through the 7 years and give us a chapter of information. That's why I call them parentheses. They give you information you need to have. Okay? So there are those who hold that we know Antichrist is the first seal. We already know that a third of people have died. So there are those who hold, and I'm not going to argue with them, this is just what they hold, that these martyrs are the martyrs that were killed already in the tribulation. And the thing where he says, for a little while longer, you hang on until your number is complete. Because there are going to be more. We're at the first part already. There are going to be more who will die in that seven-year period for their faith. Okay? So there's a hold that. There are others who hold that these are the martyrs of all time. Anybody who's died through history. You may have read Fox's Book of Martyrs and stuff, you know, or at least had a reference to that. How many of you get the Voice of the Martyrs information, either online or it tells about our brothers and sisters who today are dying simply because they have faith in Jesus Christ like you do. And it's happening today all over the world. So martyrdom is not just ancient history, nor is it future. It's happening right now. So I personally lean a little bit more toward, and again, I wouldn't argue about this, I lean a little bit more toward this is these are the martyrs of the faith. These are the martyrs of the faith. Okay? So when will their number be complete? By the end of the... When Jesus comes back again. Okay? Now, what does it tell us about them? Well, what's interesting to them, it seems like these are the only ones... Think about New Testament theology. These are the only ones that kind of have a right to ask for vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what they're doing. Okay. But notice this, as they trusted God in life and they trusted God in death, they also trust God for justice. So how much longer, Lord, until you, who are they trusting? They're trusting God for justice. And they can do that. Why? Because God is a just God.
That's right.
And there are always consequences for these things. Dave, do you have a question?
What was your statement? They're the only ones that can do what?
Basically ask for vengeance or retaliation. But that may not be true.
Are they asking for
how long?
They're asking God.
Yeah.
For
They're asking, which is asking for justice.
Yeah.
So David asked for justice.
That's true.
I don't think it's necessarily wrong for me to ask for justice.
No, I don't think it is either. I think sometimes I would always caution people. Let me just caution what I mean by this. Paul teaches in Romans that vengeance belongs to the Lord, that you don't repay. So again, I would say even in our time, if you recognize that and put it where it's supposed to be, that's good. Be very, very careful. And I see it all the time. I've experienced staff people that have this attitude. I've experienced other pastors that have this attitude. What I call the martyr complex. Everybody's against me. They hate me. I'm suffering for Jesus. Well, you know what? Sometimes that makes a mockery of those who really are suffering for Jesus. So I'm just saying be careful. I do agree with you. I think we can say, Lord, when will justice reign? And when will you repay? But this is kind of, again, I would say, let me at least put it in there. This is really a special class of people. These are not, think about it, and even in a worldly sense, who do we honor in our country? Whether we're talking about faith or not, who do we honor in our country? Whether they be military or police or firemen or anybody who willingly laid down their life. We got a national cemetery called Arlington. Do you understand Arlington? Now again, like so many other things, it's become so washed down in some people's mind to put anybody there. You realize that Nancy Pelosi could be buried in Arlington.
She needs to be buried in San Francisco.
So I'm just telling you, Arlington was meant. I mean, you have the Tomb of the Unknown there. Arlington was meant primarily, and I think my view is, completely, not for every veteran, praise God for every veteran who served, but for those veterans who gave the ultimate.
Yes.
Amen.
Who gave their life. That's a special place. That's a special place for them. See, I even have the view. You drive through the town now, and I'm sure you're like me. You see the flag at half staff every other day. And so you say, what is that?
Yeah.
You want it? Well, my brother and your brother, who you guys know and love, who's already with Jesus, Cal Calvert. He was in charge of our flag. By the way, I need someone in charge of the flags. So we got to replace them. They're getting ripped and stuff. So if you want to do that, let me know. Okay. I got them, so it wouldn't be a big deal. Getting back to what I said. Cal believed this, and I agree with him. You don't drop the flag at half staff for Whitney Houston dying of an overdose
That's
of drugs.
Right.
I do believe, the only day that flag needs to come down at half staff is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And that should take care of everybody who died worthy of that flag coming down. That's why, and I've had people say, well, don't you know the governor said half staff? Well, the governor doesn't own our flags.
That's right.
So our flags come at half staff on Memorial Day. And that's it.
Thank you.
So, just keeping things in proper perspective. You see, if you drop the flag for everybody, then dropping the flag means nothing.
Yeah.
You bury everybody in Arlington, then Arlington means nothing.
Well, you ask about who do they see as heroes? Singers, actors, athletes. I mean, that's what that side has embraced.
Mm-hmm.
That is our heroes. Yeah. Art.
So they get the awards at the Lincoln Kennedy Center. Oh, I could go on. Never mind. We're going to move on. So, all right. So we see here, he's drawing this picture of the martyrs, those who've died. Again, you can hold your own view. Some say just at the hands of the Antichrist since the tribulation started, or some would say martyrs of all times. I don't think it impacts it one way or the other, what he's trying to say here. They're given a white robe. What does the white robe represent in prophetic language? We've already talked about this. Purity. And those who have, even a little bit further than that, those who have been redeemed. So again, remember we talked about the 24 elders? Are they heavenly beings? Are they earthly beings? Well, he makes it clear to tell us that they were in white robes, which tells us that they were human. They're human in heaven now. And these are humans who've died for the faith. The other thing, before we move on, is the prophecy that continues here in this seal, that the death of those who are followers of Jesus Christ is not stopped and will not stop until Jesus comes back again. Everybody got that? All right? I would say to you this, and we'll see this in the next chapter, only those who are sealed of God. And I'm talking about sealed for a special purpose. Only those who are sealed of God are promised that they will not die at the hands of the world system. Everybody who comes to faith in Jesus Christ in the tribulation period, the only thing that's ever said about them is they'll probably die for that. Now, do I believe that everybody will die? I don't. But they understand. It means so little to people today, even in America, to come to Christ. It doesn't cost us anything. In this day, when they come to Christ, they will know, if you come and you trust Jesus Christ, you have just made yourself a marked person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the only thing this world will offer you is not a pat on the back and not any kind of position or power. The only thing the world will offer you is we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the rest of the world, the ungodly world, will think that Antichrist and the system will be doing the world a favor by getting rid of these. And I kind of have the view they've already lifted him to power and exalted him because he's told them a lie that somehow he got rid of the Christians. He fixed it for them. You don't have to worry about those people. But all of a sudden, here comes some more who come to faith. Well, we're not going to have another rapture. So what's going to happen? Well, let's just help it out. We've already got rid of those, and nobody has any problem with that. As a matter of fact, we'll celebrate it. Also later on, another parenthesis, he'll talk about two prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what happens when those prophets are finally killed?
The world celebrates.
They have a celebration and start giving gifts, like it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But you also remember, here's that seal thing again. Nobody could touch them.
That's right.
Until God said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they killed them. And listen, they left their bodies in the streets for 3 days.
Yep.
And 3 days later, what happened? Boom. Something happened. You got to watch that 3-day mark. Something seems to happen on that 3rd-day mark for believers, you know? So anyway, so anybody, I saw it, Dave.
Do you think the 144,000 will have that special seal?
I do.
So they'll enter into the millennial kingdom.
There are those who say in the 14th chapter you'll see them in heaven. Okay. Now that's an interpretation thing. But what I do believe is those 144,000, and it says they're going to be sealed of God. And so here's how I look at that seal. They are safe from anything this world's going to throw at them until God says otherwise. That's the seal to me.
And are they specifically Jewish?
The 144,000 are Jewish. There's no way to get around that. Unless you just sort of, you know. I mean, why would he put it this way? It doesn't even make sense. Anyway, let's don't get ahead of ourselves. But yes, we always like to get ahead of ourselves. Because part of that is tying that together as we walk through this. Because again, remember, we're in a chronological time right now. These seals running across. Next chapter is parentheses. So I believe next chapter fits within what we're studying right now. It doesn't happen after, it fits within. That's the information that we get. Question? Any other question or comment? Before we move on to the next seal. Yes?
144,000, they're all men, young men.
Yep,
right?
That's what it says. Yep. Unless the Bible doesn't mean what it says, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just say that because of the time we live in. Men are not men, so... Anyways.
Just a comment
liberals
about those...
Liberals aren't going to like that.
A comment about those martyrs.
Yes.
There are many Christians who believe when we get to heaven, we won't remember anything because we won't remember the bad stuff.
Right.
Those martyrs remembered.
You're exactly right. To think, here's what heaven, I believe heaven is going to be like. And Paul, I think Paul says this to us. We're not going to know less in heaven. We're going to know more. But what we know will be perfected. And so even the bad things that happen, we will begin to see those in the light of who God is.
Amen.
Not in the light of looking through a glass dimly. Not in the light of lack of understanding. But in the light of the glory of God. And that clears up everything. So if God says, Tony, you're going to die for the faith. Well, nobody. Well, I wouldn't say nobody. There's probably some people who would be glad about that. But... For the most part, we say, oh, well, that's an awful thing. And sometimes this side of heaven, that's how we look at those things. So-and-so died of cancer. And that is an awful thing. I mean, that's an awful thing. And sometimes even we Christians have a hard time seeing the glory of God in those things. And yet, if we believe what the Bible says, that God is able to work all things for the good to those who love him and who are called, the next part is so important, called according to his purpose. So what if his purpose for me is to walk in sickness? What if his purpose for me is to be martyred? What if that is his purpose for me? Are we okay with that? Again, this side of heaven looking that way, it's difficult. Let's just be honest. It's difficult for us. But here's the wonder of heaven. And I can't explain it completely, but this is in my mind again, is from that perspective, everything becomes clear. And everything is put in its proper order. And it's not that our memory is erased. We'll know better than we've ever known before, and we will understand clearly all the things that God has for us and stuff. The only other area that I have concern with, and that's, again, this is from looking that way because I don't understand. What about my family members who are in hell?
Yes.
I have trouble with that. I'm just going to tell you, I have trouble with that. I got to trust God with that, but I have trouble with that to think about someone that I love so dearly is burning for eternity. Somehow I just wonder, somehow God's got to make that right, and I can't tell you how. Dave.
Wow. I'm just echoing what I just read in the Psalms this morning. I forget which one. Yeah, it's a different Bible, but it says everything that God does is good, and everything that God does it is just and right. And so your point about knowing more instead of less, maybe we will begin, and that's reading through the Old Testament because there's a lot of divine killing.
Right.
But even the divine killing, not one of those persons wouldn't have died anyway, right? I mean, everybody would have died eventually. I mean, I'm even talking about the heathen, you know,
right.
Nations. They would have all died eventually. And then the second thing I remember is we don't know their eternal destiny. You know,
that's right. We don't. That's why you need to watch Braveheart and quote William Wallace. My favorite movie. Every man dies. Not every man really lives. What are you going to do with your life? Because what Dave said is true. The grave's coming for all of us.
Yeah.
It really is. We're gonna pass through that veil. You know, that, I read something this morning a little bit similar to that. It talked about your question not to be whether or not you're going to die. Your question ought to be is where you're going to spend eternity.
That's right. Yeah.
I was going to add, we see through a glass darkly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, though God, I believe God gives it, as we particularly in His Word, He gives us glimpses. These are glimpses into eternity, guys. Mm-hmm. And He does that to encourage us, I believe, in our faith. But we all have to confess. I always say, when you and I get to see Jesus for the first time, I guarantee you, we're going to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And you know, when He talks about wiping away every tear, what possible tears could there be when you're standing before Jesus? And I really believe the first tears we will have, I really do, because we won't forget everything, is tears of regret. Yes. And that regret means, to me, is not this thing or that thing, as much as an overall understanding of how little we made of God when we should have trusted Him completely. That's the regret I'm talking about. Yeah. And that shows itself in so many areas in our life. But that main thing is, God, forgive me for treating you as so small.
Yeah. Wow.
And not trusting you.
Like I say, we tend to focus on what we do or don't do. You know, those, what we sin or maybe the good works that we do. But what I think that last point is what maybe we could have done.
Mm-hmm. Or he could have done through us. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what haunts me. You know?
All right, let's go to the sixth seal. Everybody ready for the sixth seal? It says, and I looked and opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now we've had, again, little pictures of this, even modern. Do you think? Remember St. Helens and stuff? And even the ash from St. Helens all the way down here in Arizona, it changed the look of the moon at night. And I'm sure up there, were you up there at that time? I'm sure up there, in the midday, it looked like it was dark outside.
It looked like it had snowed.
Right.
It was snowing.
And it just changes things. So that's what he's describing here, an earthquake. Well, earthquakes is, we understand that that's a shifting of the plates here on Earth, many times caused by volcanic activity underneath. So it's not uncommon for the Earth to shift and the magma to come up and all this to happen at one time and to fill the air with things that would cause what he's talking about right here. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this is not just a natural phenomenon. We studied in this class, we studied Exodus. Remember when we studied Exodus? There are those, again, theologians, who want to tell you that all the plagues that happened were just natural things that happened. Interesting that natural things happened right after God told them they were going to happen. Okay? So, while it is true that God in the plagues of Egypt used natural, what we call the natural world events, catastrophes, but natural world events, to pour out His judgment on Egypt, okay, that does not mean that they were not supernaturally initiated. Okay? Mm-hmm. And as we studied Exodus, what is significant about Exodus, we talked about this, is that each one of those plagues, those nine plagues, were an attack on a god of Egypt.
Yes.
Every one of them were an attack upon the, finally coming to Ra, the sun god, the giver of life, and he wasn't able to give life to the son of Pharaoh.
That's right.
Okay? So, again, those things happen, and you say, well, this was a plague. It was a, you know, the world has epidemics, pandemics, and all these kinds of things. But I want to tell you that in Exodus and here, it doesn't happen until Jesus says it's going to happen.
That's right.
Okay? And that's the case here with the earthquakes. He said, this earthquake will not, this enormous earthquake will not happen until Jesus says, now. Pat?
If it's all, nothing happens until God either allows it or wills it, but He allows it to happen. Is it I'm going to use all of it. Is there anything then that is outside the will of God if he's going to use all of it for his good?
Well,
I know, I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, the only reason I believe that some of the stuff that goes on, not necessarily that he willed it, be allowed it to happen, because he's going
to
use it.
Well, yeah, I think we have to be careful of our terminology there. Because there are some who would say nothing happens unless God wills it to happen, or even carry that makes it happen. I do not believe that the evil that we see in this world is because God made it happen. I just don't believe that.
Allowed.
Do I believe allowance? Of course. It has to be allowed because God could stop. And then we have this big question, why doesn't he stop? So allowance would be a better word. Here, though, is more than an allowance. This is the will of God. This is God enacting it here. I think those who are extreme in their view that, again, nothing happens unless God makes it happen, and they say, well, that's the definition of God's sovereignty.
I hope you know that's first of all, what I'm saying.
No, I know that's why I'm just sort of clarifying that. So be careful. We may even use words this way. We may say that some things are God's specific will, and some things are God's,
permissive
will. Thank you. That's the word I was thinking. Some things may be God's permissive will. Okay? One, we say God, boom, made it happen. The other one, we say it happened and it couldn't have happened. I mean, God could have stopped it, and we don't know why he didn't or chose not to do it. But the evil that's done in those things is the responsibility of the person who does the evil.
Yeah. You know, there's so many examples of this, but in our lifetime, we all had such a powerful example in Ronald Reagan, because when he got shot, just think, he could have been bitter against God. God, why'd you allow this to happen to me? You know, here I am, 78 years old, running for president. Mm-hmm. But he writes in his autobiography that his mom was a real religious woman, and she taught him that everything happens for a purpose. And so when Ronald Reagan got shot, he writes that he says, now, God, it's
what is the purpose? And that ought to be our approach as believers. God, what is the purpose of this? God, I'm not accusing you of making this happen or anything. Hitler was not God. The evil of Hitler was evil. But Christians, even in that time, had to ask, God, what is the purpose of this? How are you going to work this out as your word says you will? All right. So he opened this seal, and we come with the sackcloth, the earthquake. Now look at what it says, verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops like late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Now, that's quite a picture, isn't it? So, some people have talked about meteor showers and stuff like that. Remember, stars are just talking about something from the heaven falling to the earth. Some people spiritualize this and say he's talking about angels, because angels have been called stars, too. That, he's not talking about that. He actually is talking about literal, we may call them asteroids, we may call them meteorites, we may call them whatever. We also know that if a star fell and hit the Earth would be no more, right?
Very true.
Because there are very few stars, as far as we know, that are anywhere near the size of the Earth. I mean, they would look at our own star, and our star is not, our sun is not even a huge star.
Could it be our satellite?
Could be. It's something from heaven that's falling in this way. I kind of doubt the satellite thing, because I think the satellite thing is going to remain part of tool used of Antichrist, but that's just my view on that type of thing. Remember, he's going to be able to be seen worldwide instantaneously by everybody.
Everywhere.
And the technology is already there.
Oh, yeah,
today.
China's already getting ready to knock our satellites
out. He talks, it's the picture that he gives here, like figs that are falling off, ripe figs falling off a tree when the windstorm comes up. Anybody ever have a fig tree? First of all, when those figs fall and stuff, because you didn't pick them when you should have picked them things are nasty. It's kind of like an olive tree. When those olives fall, you know, and
my calling in life.
Let there be light. If you ever wonder what Moses looked like, so it's right there.
I hope not.
Okay. Look at verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll. You ever sing a song that has that little statement in it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The sky receded like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved in its place. This is not a small thing. The whole of the earth, or what we might even call creation, trembles at what at the sixth seal. Mm-hmm. It just can't help itself. It's going to tremble, and the sky rolling back as a scroll. What a word picture.
Yeah, what is that?
The only thing that I could give a picture of that as, and I would just give it's a personal experience. When we were in West Texas, at Wayland Baptist University in school, and anybody been up in West Texas, there's no mountains there. It's just flat as it can be. For some reason, on this day, everything turned this hue of brown. We were in the house, and everything turned, like, what's going on? So we stepped outside, and I'm looking, and it looks like it's only about 100 feet above the ground, but of course it's higher. And what I'm seeing is, like, there's a plate of glass in the middle of the sky, and these clouds, these brown clouds, are rolling. They're not; none of them are below it. It's like they're rolling on that brown, on that piece of glass in the sky. Like, this is the weirdest thing. I thought, I wonder if Jesus come back today. But there's some interesting pictures of these things that could happen. Can you imagine could he be talking? Some people said he's talking about that. What's that? That ozone layer just being pulled back. There's those of us said that too. Just different pictures of. Remember, we have a firmament that is a protective firmament on our earth even today. Can you imagine if that sky got rolled back? Ooh. And then he's going to talk about intense heat that's coming. More than sunburn, he's going to talk about men just outside are burning. Their skin, their flesh begins to burn. It's an incredible thing that he describes. Okay? All right, so it says there in verse 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves in the rocks of the mountains. So what's this tell you? Mm-hmm. They are consumed by fear, and it doesn't matter your standing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are. Where are you going to go for protection? Well, wait a minute, I'm the king. This can't happen to me. I'm the president. This can't happen to me. I'm the richest man in the world. This can't happen to me. Oh, yes, it can.
Oh, yeah.
Because the reality is you're mortal.
That's it. We're all the same.
And for too long, you've shaken your fist in the face of the immortal and declared you don't need him and declared you can live on your own. Try it now.
Yeah.
Try it now. And I remind we as Christians, you are in control of very little. You are in control of very little. You can't even control whether your heart's going to beat for the next time.
That's right.
So, doesn't it just make sense? Isn't it just rational in your thinking that you would trust someone who does have control over those things? I mean, just rationally. Which is part of the reason why I believe the Bible teaches that innate in every human being is that knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's there.
I see it's
going to get it's innate. Now, whether they'll respond to him, whether they'll trust him, that's a whole other matter. But even the atheist knows there's a God. Even the atheist knows there's a God.
Yeah.
But they'd rather portray themselves as fools by declaring there is no God.
I find this interesting in that they're running to something God made, not their own building
mm-hmm.
or man-made protection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say, where are you going to run? Anybody remember two towers going down in 9/11? That did, whatever caused that completely didn't take much. Didn't take long. So everything that man does is temporary. And it can't stand. It cannot stand the test of time. It certainly cannot stand the judgment of God. It just cannot.
Yeah.
And ultimately, think about this. Everything is going to be burned. When it's all said and done, everything's going to be burnt. Go ahead.
And then they go and beg in verse 16.
Well, of course. Anybody remember 9/11 after those planes hit and the TV shows up on Washington, D.C., and these ungodly people who rejected God, who enacted some of the most ungodly legislation that the world has ever seen, want to stand there on the steps of our Capitol and call out to God for his mercy and his grace. At least for 2 weeks I did that.
Yeah.
Again, everybody knows there's a God.
Right.
And when the stuff, I can't say it out loud, but when the stuff hits the fan, okay, when that happens, where are they going to turn? They're going to turn to God. Because they don't have anywhere else to turn.
I always find that interesting that they will hide and pray to what they don't believe, that somebody with a gun and badge will show up, save their butt before they get hurt.
Yeah.
And I always find that really just dichotomous.
It is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to what is, as we read on here. So they go to the mountain, verse 16. And said to the mountain and rock. Now listen, this is the other, kind of the insanity of being lost, completely lost and having no hope. Saying to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. They don't even understand that if those rocks fell on them and crushed them, the first face they would see is the one they're trying to hide from. How many people believe, even in our time, I want you to think about this, how many believe in our time that death is a release? I'm talking about lost people.
Well, I think they're more and more.
All right, and that lie is becoming more and more to people. They believe that death is a release. So what do? Some of them even actually kill themselves. Because they think, if I kill myself, the pain will stop.
Oh, they're right.
Huh? No, they're not right.
In one way.
That's, well one way, there, I'm going to tell you this. There is no pain here on earth that will match the pain of eternity, apart from Christ.
Well, that's why that lie.
So there's the lie. Yeah, that's the lie.
Well, yeah, but that's why that lie, that statement, I've heard so many of my own family members say, I'm living hell right here on earth, and you look at them and you go, no, you're not. You have no idea.
Right, and none of us do. That we don't know the full glory of heaven is also reflected in the other direction. That we don't know the full horror of hell. We just don't. Okay? And death for the ungodly is not a release.
No.
It's not a rescue. It's not a rescue. And there again, that's the insanity of their plea here to say, hey, let these rocks fall on us so we don't have to face the terror of the one who's making this happen. And again, they don't even realize that the first face they'll see, if I can put it that way, after this is over, is the one they're trying to hide from, because you can't hide from me.
What do you think about all the ungodly, that when somebody dies, like there's almost a universal thought, oh, they're in a better place.
Of course.
Do you think they're saying that sincerely, or?
Well, I think they're saying that from, again, first of all, I think they're saying it from ignorance, of course. But isn't it strange, again, that people can live their whole life in denial of a God who created created the universe and eternity, and has a promise for us for eternity, and we reject him completely. We go our own way. We say we don't need him and stuff. But when death comes, everybody wants to say, well, they're in a better place. My question is, where's that place? If you don't believe in God, where is that place? And so, again, that goes back to what's innate in every human being. We want to believe. We want to believe that we're okay, and we want to believe that if there is a God, he is this benevolent being up there that requires nothing of us, and universalism is true, and all of us are going to get there one way or another, so it don't matter how you live your life or what you do. And I remind you, that's the antithesis of the Scripture. It does matter what you do. It does matter who you believe. It does matter who you trust. It does matter. Okay? Pat, I'm in Chile.
So at this point, is it too late to cry out to God?
No, we're not. I don't think we're at the point yet of salvation. Stop. We're going to get to that point. I'll show you where I really believe the Spirit quit speaking to the world.
So
that'd be an interesting point when we get there.
God.
Huh?
They could turn to God.
They could, but I want you to see something. They're not turning to God here.
No.
This is not a turning to God. This is a Judas moment.
Yeah. Take me out of my misery.
This is a Judas moment. I can't stand any longer, so I'll hang myself. I have Pat Preto. I don't know if Judas repented. Listen, the Bible gives no indication that Judas repented. No indication that Judas repented. So these guys say, well, I don't know. Well, of course you don't know, because first of all, the Bible didn't tell you. And for you to suppose that he repented is to add to the scripture what the scripture doesn't say. The man went and killed himself.
Yeah.
Not because he repented. Notice the difference between Peter and Judas.
Mm-hmm.
One betrayed God, and one denied him. But one man was repented and came back. The other man, again, do you not believe, and I'm not saying this to hurt anybody if you've experienced it in your family, but do you not believe that the most self-centered and selfish act that anybody can do is suicide?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because suicide leaves too many people in the wake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people you say you love and you know. So I think that sometimes we need to look at some of these things. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. You have to get my attention quicker. Let me speak. Okay. All right. All right, let's finish up this chapter, so we'll start 17 next week. We've got a minute and a half. Okay? So they're asking to hide from the face of God. So clearly they're not asking for God. They're not asking for Jesus. They don't want to see him. Then when you come to repentance, who do you want to see? Well, you want to see Jesus. Who do you want to experience? You want to experience Jesus. They don't want Jesus here. They just want relief from their torment. And they don't realize that eternity that they're asking to step into would be even greater torment than they're facing right here.
Can I ask you one question? When people die, you know, there's some really bad ones like Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And then some that just didn't believe. You think there's different degrees in hell?
I do. I personally do. And that's not giving anything to Dante and his inferno. But I put it this way. If there are rewards in heaven, why wouldn't there also be?
Yeah.
And I can't explain that to you. That's just my view. And some people, you know, again, there are people who enter heaven as by fire. There probably also be moral people that enter hell simply because they rejected Christ. But they're not Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just my view. So. Again, the Bible doesn't say that specifically, so I'm not saying that from the Bible that's what it says, but that would be my view.
But your personal
view.
Belief is that there's a special place in hell for the really rotten.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Make sure you get that right.
There's special places in heaven, why wouldn't there be? Anyways. Okay, so verse 17 as we close this out. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now, again, some people hold that this is the great day of the wrath is again the beginning. Some people might be raptured at this point, the wrath of God, and they say it didn't happen until the sixth seal. Some people say it didn't happen until the sixth trumpet, but I would say that those people are again the people that correlate all three of these judgment events as being the same event, just described differently. Okay, one seal, one trumpet, one bowl. I don't hold them as the same event because they're not always exactly the same as he gives them. I think they're chronologically. Here we are in the first half of the tribulation period, and these things have happened almost immediately as we enter the tribulation period. How long does it take to get to the sixth seal? I couldn't tell you. It could happen boom, 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 boom. Or it could take a couple, 3 years. So, all right, we're going to stop there. Any questions online? Y'all being quiet. You're still quiet. All right. Any questions in here?
I think it's interesting that they instinctively knew who to go to.
Yep.
I mean, their thoughts.
Yep. That's why I correlate 9/11. Who did? We're going to go pray to God. You mean the God that you guys have rejected? The God that you guys have enacted legislation that is an affront to who he is? That's the God you want to go talk to and ask him to make things right? Do they not understand? If God decided to make things right in America, America would be judged instantaneously.
Oh, yes.
So, all right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together in your word. Thank you for the truth that has been given to us. We look at these two seals today. Pray that you'll walk with us and we'll be submissive and responsive to your spirit in the way that you lead us in the days ahead. And Lord, just thank you for the promise we have in your Son, Jesus.
Amen.
And may we be faithful to your Spirit as he leads us to share that truth with those you put in our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, online. See y'all later. God bless.
Somebody calling you back here.
Yes.
Lavana.
Who?
And so this was the
guys, everybody, she's asking about Andy's memorial service. They did it back there.
Okay.
So as far as I know, there will not be one here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think they had the family meeting back there, so I assume there's nothing going to be happening here.
Okay.
I haven't been told anything different.
Thank you for that question.